course, this Thursday will be our national holiday, in which we call Thanksgiving. And typically, at this time, we would talk about the fact that we'll be gathering around the table, all of our family and loved ones, and we will be sharing a meal together. But like so many things since March, what is typical and what we would normally do has yet again been altered and been changed. And so Thanksgiving is no exception. We will find that there will not be many people gathering together, or if they are, the groups will be much smaller. I read one article that someone was saying the level of mashed potatoes will be cut in half or quartered with the amount of or less food. Won't be as much. Some have said that's something to be thankful for. That was one of the things that they said, because the level of stress and the level of preparation, the level of concern, and the one time a year that seems like we all cook turkey is only on Thanksgiving. And so with no practice since the last year, we're going to give it another shot and see if we can get it right this year. And for many people, that becomes extraordinarily stressful. Not so much the case this year, though, is it? But Thanksgiving is certainly something that in the Bible is all throughout God's Word. And Thanksgiving is found all throughout God's Word at various times. When times are going well and when times are not going well, there is still the admonition to be thankful. And so, like so many things in our walk as Christians, we learn that what God expects us to do, God expects us to do not just if the circumstances allow us, but He expects us to do that when the circumstances allow that and make it easier, or when in many ways the circumstances would be opposite to that. I would suggest to you that it is at those times that we as children of God actually get the opportunity to really let our light shine. That when everyone else is reacting or overreacting or stressed or whatever it might be, and here we are, children of God, still being thankful, still being appreciative, they might say, what in the world? They might say, what are you smoking? But you might try to deflect it from some sort of mind-altering drug to, no, I'm not smoking anything. I'm not taking anything. I just have a perspective on life that many people don't have. And you get the opportunity to share that. Thanksgiving is all throughout God's Word. In the New Testament, the word thanksgiving is actually the word Eucharistos. And that word appears in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Wherein the Apostle Paul, and we'll go over there in Colossians 3 and verse 15, he tells us, or specifically the Colossians, he tells them, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's a compound word. First part of that word means well and good. And the last part of that word means grant and give. And therein becomes sometimes the challenge, isn't it? Because in difficult circumstances, we're not thinking, well, this is well and good. And so we've had people that talk about the fact that even in difficult circumstances, look for that silver lining. In other words, even in circumstances that maybe aren't conducive to what others would say is well and good, we might find that well and good somewhere in there. And then it comes from the word, a word that we get the word to give. And derivatives of that word are found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, if you'll remember in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, you'll remember that that is a section in Romans in which the Apostle Paul is talking about what happened to the Gentiles. How did they get so far off? And early on, you remember, it says that they stopped being thankful. That was one of the first things that happened as they got so far. So that as you get to the end of the chapter, and you have men with men and women with women, you think, whoa, how do we get that far away? Well, you come all the way back to the very beginning, and there's a few things that happen at the very beginning that set this track in motion. And one of those things is they stop being thankful. So thankfulness, obviously, from that standpoint, if you just look at it from Romans chapter 1, it's a pretty important principle. And that when we fail to do that, who knows what direction our lives may take? We saw what happened with the Gentiles. Not surprising then that when we come to the English language, our language that we speak, that we find the exact same thing talked about in our dictionaries. Merriam-Webster says that it is the act of giving thanks. Macmillan said that's the definition of thanksgiving. Macmillan said, used for telling someone that you are grateful for something that they have said or done, grateful feelings or thoughts or gratitude. And so it's very clear that the Bible says, be thankful. That's it. It's not a be thankful when, be thankful if, be thankful in these circumstances. It's just be thankful. And when we let that mentality go throughout our lives, then wherever we are, it not only helps those around us, it helps me. Because if I'm in a difficult circumstance, the problem is, and the thing that I've got to fight against, is looking at the difficulties in front of me instead of the things that I can be thankful for. Okay, so I'm not going to have this, but look what this situation has allowed me to have. Okay, so I've been restricted here, but look at the liberties I've been given here. Okay, I don't have this, but look at the opportunity here. And so oftentimes what happens is that we allow circumstances to drive our mentality. And that's when thankfulness becomes the challenge. Because God says, be thankful in every and all circumstances. And so it's easy when I get that raise. It's easy when everything goes smooth. It's easy when there are no computer problems. It's easy when nothing is happening. Everything is going just like it's supposed to. It's great, it's wonderful, and it's easy to be thankful. Well, everybody does that. If Jesus was to say something about that, he might say, you know, even the Gentiles do that. What about when things aren't going so well, when things are difficult? Can we maintain thankfulness? And the only way that we can do that is by not focusing on the negative, not focusing on the difficulty, not focusing on maybe whatever the challenge is at hand. Because that's what the world will do. And we've got to be different than the world. All throughout God's Word, you find this idea of being thankful. I mean, the Psalms are replete with them. There is a section of Psalms, and this is that section of Psalms. Psalms is an interesting book to read. That's been something that I've been doing in the last month. You can get on the various Bible apps, and you can select what you want to read. And I thought, I want to read through the book of Psalms just in one setting instead of just grabbing a psalm here, there, and yonder, for sermons and such. Read through the entire book of Psalms. And I tell you, it's really interesting because as you get through the book of Psalms, before you get to this section, you're talking about vengeance and God bringing vengeance and, Lord, where are you and why aren't you helping me? And there's a lot of Psalms like that. And then you get to this section and it's thanksgiving and thankfulness and be thankful in every aspect of life. Scooter read it for us in Psalm chapter 100. And specifically, the verse that I want us to notice is verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Now the picture here, when you think about this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Where are these people going? What are they entering? They're entering the temple. And the psalmist is saying, how in the world can you enter the temple of God, wherein is the figurative presence of God, wherein God has said, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have a covenant with you. And I want it to be based upon sacrifice. How in the world could we walk through the gates of the temple, enter the courts of the temple, and not have thanksgiving? Well, let me ask you a question this morning. How can we walk through the doors of this church building, the opportunity that we have, even more so to be thankful? We have a sacrifice that is not having to be made yearly, reminding us of the fact that the sacrifices that we're making aren't getting the job done. But we have a sacrifice available to us that was given once for all. He entered into the Holy of Holies and He gave Himself, His blood, His life for us that we've just remembered. And that was all because of God's love. You're not worthy of that sacrifice. I'm not worthy of that sacrifice. But you see, worthiness wasn't ever the issue. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 5. Would you die for a good man? Not very many people would. Would you die for a righteous man? Yeah, there again, not very many people would. But His love is demonstrated toward us in that while we were sinners, unworthy of what was going to be done for us, it was still yet done for us. And you can't walk into the doors of the congregation, this church. You can't walk into the doors of the church building knowing that we're about to worship the God that loved me so. He gave His Son. He made a plan before the foundation of the world. You can't walk through the courts, enter the gates with thanksgiving. Who's got the problem? It's not God. I've got the problem if I can't do that. Now, if that was said in the Old Testament, how much more is that true for us? Think about the number of times in the New Testament wherein we find this matter of thanksgiving being enjoined upon people. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Sounds like that's not an easy situation that Paul has in mind here, is it? Be anxious for nothing must be something I'm anxious about, could be anxious about, others would be anxious about. So here is a situation in which there's some anxiety. And so in these situations, even where there is some anxiety, what do I do with those situations? Well, it's like I give that to prayer, in prayer to God. I ask Him for supplication and being thankful, knowing that God is going to provide whatever that situation is that's creating the anxiety. He's going to provide either the answer for that, the remedy for that, or the coping mechanism for that. Somewhere in there, He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Ephesians 5 and 20. "Do not get drunk with wine," verse 18, "for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Chapter 4 and verse 2, the same thing is mentioned. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Again and again and again, God is telling us we need to be thankful. And so people say, okay, I need to be thankful, thankful, need to be thankful. In 2020, really, Adonis? Where have you been? Even in 2020, when we have seen the likes of which changes in society and alterations to our plans and alterations to just how we go about daily, even to the point of how we go to Walmart, how we go into the grocery store, how I just tend My regular business, everything has been altered. There's an interesting comment made by Melissa Kirsch in an article just a few days ago in the New York Times. And she said, "This year expressing gratitude seems more essential than ever. It's been difficult lately not to focus on what we're missing. The people we're not seeing, the places we're not going, and the things we're not doing. Articulating what we're thankful for is a radical act in the midst of a hard time. Turning our attention to the things we do have rather than what we don't is a tough task, but a crucial one." Now, she's not inspired, but she definitely reflects the attitude of, in difficult times, Christians do what? Shine their light even brighter. In difficult times, yes, it's going to be hard. We're not suggesting that being thankful in the midst of a pandemic is something that's easy. And she acknowledges that. She acknowledges the fact that as you think about what we're missing and the people we're missing and the places that we're not going and the things that we're not doing, sometimes all we can see is not. I'm not getting what I'm used to getting. And if we do that, then what we'll find ourselves doing is what? Complaining, griping, only focusing on what we don't have. Now that's a dangerous way for a child of God to live. In fact, as we saw in Romans chapter 1, that's just the first step toward just derailing your spiritual life altogether. Even to a point of degradation that the Romans suffered in Romans chapter 1. Now you can look around and say, well, I don't have this and I want that and I want that. And you can look at all of that and you can be surrounded by blessings and being showered by blessings. But you can't see what is good because you're so focused on what you don't have or what you wish you had or what you did have but now you don't. Let me tell you, all that does for you is drive you further and further down a dark hole and further away from the Lord. That's all that's going to do. There's no benefit to you there. Why do you think over and over again God says, be thankful, even in difficult circumstances? Because it raises my eyes above the circumstance, raises my eyes above the difficulty. And the only thing that I can really focus on is upon God, because God's the only one that is above the circumstances, above that. And it raises my eyes, that, or I can choose to do what everybody else does and look at what I'm missing and look at the negative. And all I will end up doing is find myself being depressed, being down. I'll stop doing the things that I ought to be doing. And then it just becomes a vicious cycle. That's what happened in Romans chapter 1. Okay, I get it, you say, Adonis. Let me give you three things I want to suggest to you. And these are probably more personal for us. And so it may not be as impressive. The sermon is going out on our public page this morning. And so it may not be as impressive to those who might be listening. But you might be able to take something from that and realize that, you know, even in the midst of difficulties, we can find something to be pleased with. You know, as the old saying goes, I was given lemons and I made lemonade. Well, you can find something. The first thing that I would suggest to you is what we have discovered, I think, specifically in the Lord's church, is that we can be thankful for the need to study God's Word. There are some things that I don't know that if we would have thought about in January of 2020, that we probably would not have said, now this needs to be on the list of critical things that need to be studied this year. Number one, we need to study the authority to cancel services of worship to our Lord. That's the first thing we need to study this year. And the second thing that we need to study is, can we partake of the Lord's service in a virtual way, in an individual way, separate and apart from everyone else? And we all just do it at the same time through Zoom or through some virtual platform, but we all do that. Can you honestly say, someone would say, that's what you want to study this year? That's what you think we ought to be focusing in on 2020? And yet come March, April, May, that's what we were studying, wasn't it? As churches began canceling services, as churches of our Lord began saying, well, we're going to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do it in a virtual fashion. And we're just going to all gather around our computer screens, and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we're all going to be together virtually, but we're going to do this together. And that caused us to study some things, didn't it? Wait a minute, where's the authority for canceling of services? Where's the authority for partaking of the Lord's Supper in that way? What is the nature of canceling services? When should we cancel? Have we been canceling services for weather that maybe we shouldn't have been canceling services for weather? Have we partaking of the Lord's Supper in a way that maybe we shouldn't have? Have we really thought about it? And all of those questions, and I'm not saying one way or the other, I'm just saying all of that meant, where were we going? To God's Word. Brethren, there is never a time in which that we should look even at a situation and say, oh boy, that was terrible. I wish that would have never come up, because we had to go study God's Word. It forced us into looking at authority, looking at worship services, looking at how to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, I know for some, that was some stressful things. For our elders, that was stressful. For elders who chose to cancel services, that was stressful. I know those men did not do that with no trepidation whatsoever. They agonized over those decisions, as ours did in continuing our services. None of that was none of those things were easy decisions to make. But all of them said, where do we have the authority? What do we have the authority to do? What does God's Word say? All of that drove us to study God's Word. And whichever side of the coin you fell on, I'm thankful that that drove us to study God's Word. That, I don't know, had we not had the pandemic that is still yet sweeping, do you think we would have devoted that amount of time to those two subjects this year? But it did this year. It forced us to study it and to ask some questions, some good questions. A lot of times, as you look down through history, you find that what honed the understanding of truth on any subject, institutionalism, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, instrumental music, was the fact that the circumstance presented it, and people began to argue, and now it forced people to say, well, what does God's Word say on this subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage? On music in the Lord's church? On support of institutions? What does it say? And it forced people to get into God's Word. Yes, it was stressful. As you look at history, it was difficult for men who stood on the same side at one point and then studied God's Word and found themselves on opposite sides. It was difficult for preachers who were fired or were let go, or churches who were split as a result of these various issues. All of that's difficult. But what it did, it forced people to study, what does God's Word say about marriage and divorce and remarriage? What does it say about instrumental music? What does it say about supportive institutions? How are we supposed to be using our money? And this year, we've looked at the canceling of services and protecting the Lord's Supper. Why? Because a circumstance fell in our lap and it forced us to figure something out. I take that as something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that we had to go and we had to study God's Word. There's a second thing that I would suggest to you. And this certainly presented a challenge, especially to the technical director for our church. No, we don't have one, don't worry. We probably need one, but no. The challenge to continue spiritual growth. And so our elders said we need to keep our adult Bible class going. And so let's look into Facebook Live. All of you know, was that the preferable option over in person? If you think so, can we talk later after services? Because I would really like to hear why you think that was preferable. No, it wasn't preferable. But it was preferable to nothing. It was preferable to no contact. It was preferable to not studying. And so we look at that and we think, oh boy, I'll be so glad that we can get back to in person. We talked about that. I'll be so glad we can get back to in person. I'll be so glad we can get back together and study. And there are several times in which that discussion was brought up. But then as soon as that was said, people were saying, but I'm thankful that we have lived at a time when that this fell at a time when what? We have the technology whereby we can gather together and we can still yet encourage one another, even though it might be through Facebook Live broadcast. And then it was decided that we needed to get our children. We were concerned about them, that we needed to get them. Is a Bible class via Zoom a great way for a four-year-old and five-year-old to have a Bible class? No. So you make some changes. You make some alterations. But you still have it. Is it a great way for any of the kids' classes? Not the best, because you find technology issues, you find internet issues, you find connectivity issues, you find slow internet connection issues, you have a variety of other issues, and yet, every week, we were able to work through those. Sometimes classes were a little bit shorter, sometimes classes were made a little more difficult, but we worked through that. What that says is that there are times in which the challenge to grow spiritually may come, but we can overcome those. I'm thankful that we live in a time, not like in the last pandemic in the early turn of the 19th century. I'm glad we don't live then when none of this technology was available. What did those brethren do? Well, they couldn't do what we did, but we've been able to do that. And so I'm thankful that we were able to, even though it wasn't the best, as preferable as we would have liked, we were able to continue that. And the third thing I would like for us to consider, it gave the opportunity to be served or to serve. You know, there were some that were uneasy about shopping in public. I get that. Because of their age, because of their health conditions, because of overriding health concerns, they were concerned. You know what that did? That gave others the opportunity who were willing to be able to serve them and help and shop for them and do whatever needed to be done for them. That's a great thing to be able to do that. Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Some lives and some individuals' lives, as a result of that, because of their health issues, some of their lives got calmer. Others' lives, or those who are serving, maybe got a little more hectic. But hectic in the process of doing what? Serving others. There's nothing wrong with that. Now let me give you a couple of final things here I want us to consider. If we fail to have the right attitude, even in the midst of pandemic circumstances. Let me just give you a history lesson. We already hinted at Romans chapter 1. Well, let's think about people who had a relationship with God. That would be a lot closer to us, wouldn't it? Think about a group of people that was actually saved by God. That's getting real close to you and I, isn't it? What happened with them? Well, if you haven't figured it out, I'm talking about the first generation of Israel. They were the ones who saw the 10 plagues. They saw God trump every single Egyptian god and show himself more powerful. They saw that. They saw the parting of the Red Sea that they might go through in dry land. They felt the quaking of the mountain. They heard the thunder and the rumbling as God gave his law to them on Mount Sinai. And yet all along the way, what did they do? They grumbled. They complained. They were greedy. They contended with God's leaders. They spoke against him at every turn. And so what happened? Well, let me take you to the book of Hebrews. Because what I'm doing is doing exactly what the Hebrew writer did. I'm just copying his sermon outline. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 5, or Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence in the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. And they did not know my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Well, it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you may seem to come short of it. Here is the example. They were saved from their slavery. We've been saved from the slavery of sin. They were given everything that God, that they needed. They were given freedom. They were given food. They were given meat. They were given bread. They were given a law. They were given a great leader. One that had not been like him until the days of Jesus. And yet they grumbled and they complained and they were greedy and they contended and they spoke against. And as a result of that, God said, you're not going to enter my rest. The Hebrew writer says, now as we think about that, what happens, do you think, if we repeat that same process? What happens if we have a heart of unthankfulness and that we grumble and that we complain? We lack faith. As a result of that, we'll not enter his rest either. We have a promise. We have a rest awaiting us. We won't enter it either. Why is that? Because, brethren, sin, unthankfulness is a sin. That's why. Romans chapter 1, 21, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Unthankfulness is a symptom of pride, and God hates a prideful man. Psalm 116 and 12, Romans 12 and 3. Pride convinces us that we deserve better. And yet I'm not looking at what I've been given that shows me I've been getting better than what I deserve all along. The third thing that unthankfulness is, it is a symptom of covetousness. My desire is more, 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 instead of thank you, thank you, thank you. And as a result of that, I find myself never content, never satisfied, always looking for something else. So yes, our Thanksgiving this Thursday is probably going to be a little different. Your Thanksgiving this Thursday may be a little bit different, maybe a little bit smaller. I'm sure you'll still have food. But that doesn't mean that even in the midst of a pandemic that children of God can't say, we don't have anything to be thankful for. Here's our 1 year that we can be given a pass. Here's our 1 year that we can say is an exception to the overall rule of Thanksgiving. Not this year. God has clearly stated to us that Thanksgiving, being thankful, should be the very core of our existence. And when it's not, then it changes our view. And when our view is changed, then so will our path change, as it did in Romans 1, as it did in Hebrews chapter 3. There's a fountain free here for you and me. How about you take advantage of that this day? Even in the midst of this pandemic, God says, won't you come? And if you'll come, you'll be able to be thankful for that, and you'll be able to be given a mentality, a disposition that in the midst of whatever happens in life, you can always be thankful. Something that we can do, let us know. Come forward, we'll hold together, we stand and while we sing our song.